RCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. With the world marking 2 years since Putin invaded Ukraine and a big aid package stuck in the House, President Zelensky for the first time disclosed casualty figures.
They claim 31,000 Ukrainian troops have been killed since the war began. That's far lower than recent U.S. estimates of around 70,000. I pressed Zelensky on whether that aid will arrive.
Mr. President, can I ask you about aid from the U.S. Congress? Are you worried about not getting it?
I think that the guys will make good decision.
It comes as Russia makes some of its most significant battlefield gains in months.
ABC's James Longman. President Biden invited the big four congressional leaders to the White House tomorrow to discuss Ukraine aid and keeping the government running. Current funding runs out Friday night. Manhunt in Jefferson Parish, Louisiana, after an accused murderer pepper sprayed a deputy after a doctor's visit and drove off with the deputy's patrol car. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Two proposed amendments to the Wisconsin Constitution are moving forward. Both ideas came up during the COVID-19 pandemic. One would let churches and other houses of worship stay open during public health emergencies. It needs to be passed by lawmakers one more time. The other would give the legislature more say on how to spend federal money. That amendment now goes to a statewide referendum in November. Governor Evers says he'll veto a Republican bill to fight PFAS pollution in Wisconsin, but Representative Jeffrey Mersau says the bill has important legal protections for innocent landowners.
That's the whole crux of this whole bill is trying to get stuff cleaned up without taking and making somebody liable that had nothing to do with it.
Evers says the bill weakens the state's enforcement authority. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Brewers lose to the Rockies. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. After winning their opener, the Brewers lost 10-3 in Arizona to the Colorado Rockies. More games today and tomorrow, and then on Wednesday, the Brewers will face the Chicago Cubs and their new manager, Craig Counsell. NBA, the Bucks with a 119-98 win over the 76ers. Before the game, the fans in Philly booing Doc Rivers, where he last coached before taking on the job in Milwaukee. Marquette with a win at home, 88-64 against Xavier. Cam Jones led the Golden Eagles with 34 points and talked about how loud their fans got during the game.
Basically, the crowd is a reflection of us at home and even on the road. So, you know, the crowd is going to follow our energy, and Coach does a great job of, like, you know, it's about us on the court and doing what we need to do, and then the crowd will follow, and we had the best crowd that I've ever heard.
Head coach Shaka Smart.
Really happy for Cam to get 34 points on his birthday. I thought overall, really good defensive effort by our guys.
That's Marquette's Shaka Smart. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
The Todd Alboz Show.
I'm Trigvi Olsen. Steven from Green Bay. Go ahead.
The city of Green Bay is one of the best places in Wisconsin to live. Plenty of people that are Wisconsin nice.
Totally agree. Green Bay is kind of swing territory between the two parties, but people in Green Bay work together. I mean, people aren't asking themselves, am I wearing a red hat or a blue hat? They're wearing green and gold hats.
The Todd Alboz Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
Sunny, warm, and breezy today. We'll get to 65 this afternoon with wind out of the southeast at 15 to 25, gusting to 35. Tonight, partly cloudy, 44 tomorrow. Sun in the morning, showers in the afternoon, high of 66 by Wednesday. Partly cloudy, light snow, and a lot colder with a high of 27. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 23.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Civic Media's Rich LoCascio. Could you introduce me as a wrestler right now? You could call me like the Punching Bag or the Patsy or something.
From Green Bay, Wisconsin, the Punching Bag, Pete Schwabba.
Now, I'd be looking across the ring at my opponent's eyes getting really wide as he got ready to wail on me.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Ithaca's choice for news, talk, and sports. News from the Center, WRCE, 1450 AM and 107.7 FM.
If you've ever driven a tractor, you're her friend. This is the Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Boy, I tell you what, whatever you are driving today and tomorrow, you're going to want the windows rolled down. Morning, everybody. Come on in. It's a Monday. Fabulous. Farm Babe Pam Yonke, tickled to have you along with us. Kind of hard to believe that it's the end of February with the weather we're looking at least today and tomorrow. Partly cloudy skies on the way today. 62 are expected high. Winds out of the south, southeast, about 16 miles an hour. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and 66. And then the bottom falls out. Wednesday, sunshine, but a cold 29 degrees. We do have a chance of measurable precipitation moving into the state later this week as well. Thursday, we should bounce back with sunshine and 45 by Friday, back to 52 degrees. Now, this weather is going to impact a lot of things in Wisconsin agriculture. Of course, we've got to take care of our livestock. When you get massive fluctuation swings in temperatures like this, that is overtime work for a lot of our Wisconsin dairy industry and a lot of those folks that have babies out on the barn. Talking more about that. We also have to be mindful that the plants do not know if this is for real. Is this just short-lived? Our Wisconsin maple syrup producers have been caught up in this cycle all season long. Stephanie Hoff's going to catch up with them and find out what they think about this upcoming warm snap on the way. And we're talking about young leadership in Wisconsin's dairy industry, coming from all aspects of dairy. We're talking with a young woman from the Pittsville area this morning on how she juggles raising a family and also being actively involved as a board member for Farm First Dairy Cooperative. So glad you're along with us. Well, we want to kick things off on a Monday morning, focusing in on farmers' investments into research that in return generates products that you may be using and don't even realize it comes from agriculture. Have you ever thought about a Wisconsin farmer creating products that you could have in your baby's room, in your kid's room, in that bassinet? Well, Bob Bosol joins us now from the northern end of the world's longest barn in Eau Claire to explain just how that's really happening and how one farm family is using that power of research in their own baby's bedroom.
Your checkoff dollars at work, do they really do things with your checkoff dollars from various commodities? Well, with the soybean board, yes, they do. We're in the Ogalle area in Dunn County, and Tony and Katie Melanthan are with us. And Tony, you're on the United Soybean Board. You've been on the Wisconsin Soybean Board. What's going on?
Rewind back multiple months, I met Tracy via Zoom, but it was through the United Soybean Board. Just kind of talking with her team as they do projects that highlight soy. In the conversation came up that my wife is pregnant. It'll be our third child, and she kind of dropped a subtle note of how she is an interior designer and loves designing nurseries. And we kind of took her up on her offer to come from California to Wisconsin and redesign our two girls' rooms in the nursery with soy-based solutions.
Katie, you're the one that's going to have this third child. Is this an easy way to remodel a house?
Yeah, I think it's probably one of the best ways to have that happen.
Now, you're not a professional designer. Tracy is. We'll talk to Tracy in a moment. But how much input did you have into this? Or did you say, here are the rooms, go for it?
You know, as an avid Pinterester and, you know, dreaming and, you know, you want your little girls to have the cutest little rooms. So I did send her some ideas of kind of what the girls like and the colors that they like. And we don't know what this next baby is going to be gender-wise. So we wanted to play into a nice gender-neutral nursery. So I think she's going to do a great job.
As we stand here, the project is underway. Not finished, but it's well underway. Any surprises yet? Are you happy with what you're seeing so far?
Yeah, I'm happy so far. Absolutely.
Did you give them any guidance at all that on colors or what the kids like?
I did tell her some colors, yeah, that the girls like. I mean, they're girls, so, you know, pinks and those yellows and things like that are definitely their favorites. So I'm sure our five-year-old will probably be opinionated, and then the one-year-old, she'll be happy with whatever.
Well, let's find out how this is all working. Tracy Hudson is with us from Los Angeles.
True story, Bob.
How did you get involved with the Melanthans, Tracy, and the United Soybean Board, and how did this all come together, and how long have you been doing this sort of thing?
I mean, probably since birth, probably. I just, my brain works that way as far as doing interiors. And I have a hosting background. I've been on a couple of TV shows, Extreme Makeover Home Edition, Picker Sisters, and I love to upcycle. I like to repurpose things. I wrote a sustainable design book ages ago for kids' rooms and nurseries. And I love working with United Soybean Board. We come up with content, how to get awareness out about products and all facets, right, in all industries. So naturally, when there's decor involved.
Let me ask before we go any farther. You mentioned the makeover show.
Yeah.
Are we going to see this project on one of those shows that we can pick up on TV, a streaming service or something like that? What's the status of this?
Stranger things have happened. Who knows? For sure, we will have it up on all the social channels. But yeah, you never know.
How did you and Katie get together? And you obviously just walk in the house this morning and say, oh, those are the rooms I'm working with. You had to have a little background so you could do some planning.
I have. It's been a few weeks now, but as Tony mentioned, we were on a Zoom call discussing other projects, and he mentioned that they were expecting a third baby, and I said, all right, well, I'm going to show up. We'll figure this out, but before the baby comes, I'm going to do the nursery. And then it turned into, well, maybe the big sisters need their own space too. And so we just had some fun with it. Katie was really great and sent me sort of what the girls are liking right now. And it's always interesting designing places and spaces when you've never been there before. Like, we hadn't even met in person yet.
What about working with the United Soybean Board as far as finding out what kind of products are available and where they come from and what the relationship is and how that fit into your ability to design and to remodel these rooms?
I mean, I think that approaching projects with that in mind and trying to be as sustainable as possible, to me, that's, again, just how I approach all projects. So unraveling what soy is an ingredient in is fascinating to me. It's everything from insulation to paint to stains to plywood, adhesives, plastics, fiber, like baby clothes, all sorts of things. So, I mean, it's just been really fun just to be able to find these products and I'm going to put them in the room. And it's going to be a really fast makeover, right? So it's, what's today, Friday? So I found a local person, thankfully, through Tony and Katie, and he's been doing all the paint, putting up the wallpaper to get a head start. But I don't know if you saw the big pile of boxes when we first walked in here.
My next question, when I walked in, the whole front half of the front room is full of boxes, and they're all different sizes, configurations. But the thing I was looking at are the return address labels. These things have come from all over the country. How do you tie in with people all over the country that have what you need with some kind of soybean base to it?
Yep. I mean, it was just really, just like you said, just piecemealing it together to see what was available. It's going to be a quick makeover. We're out of here by tomorrow afternoon. So getting a head start and knowing that these products were already here and waiting for me.
The products available, do you design around the products available, or do you design and then find somebody that can provide that soybean-based product or whatever?
The latter. That's really how it went. I went off of Katie's, sort of wish list, and then I found the most, the products that made the most sense that had plant-based, soy-based ingredients to them as much as I possibly could.
But are you finding, because you've been doing this, as you said, for a few years now, are you finding the market for these soy-based products, the checkoff dollars at work, so to speak, becoming more and more available? Are you finding more people producing these kind of value-added renewable projects from our natural resources, soybeans, corn, or whatever?
Right, exactly. I think the consumer is becoming smarter, and these companies are listening. And if they can use sustainable products and soybean as an ingredient, then it makes the most sense. United Soybeans as an ingredient, why not? Right?
Has there been a product you found that I didn't know they could make that out of soybeans? Have you found some of those things, or are you just now they can do just about anything?
I think that they can do just about anything. The exciting part for me is to see what is going to sort of surface for consumers in the next few years, right? I mean, the technology is getting better. It's all just hitting the market in a way where, again, the consumer wants it. I think that especially new parents, they want healthy environments, so they're going to lean more toward those products anyway. And the fact that you're not compromising on style or design by using these products, you're just elevating your space even more. I mean, it's a win-win-win.
Tracy Hudson, all the way from California with the United Soybean Board, remodeling Tony and Katie's bedroom, nurseries. All the kids are going to be very happy very soon. Here at the Melanthin Farm in O'Galley, I'm Bob Bosold.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
News from the center, WRCE, 1450 AM and 107.7 FM.
Richland County's choice for news, talk, and sports.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on News from the Center. 107.7 FM and 1450 AM WRCE and on the Civic Media app.
What's on your to-do list? Check your mail? Get groceries? How about getting your annual vaccines? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. Because we've got you. With local vaccine events and access to transportation, protecting yourself and your loved ones is not a chore anymore.
You've got this.
A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging. Funded by the U.S. Administration for Community Living through a grant to U.S. Aging. Learn more at yougotthis.usaging.org.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
You look at Taylor Swift. She fought off the bitterness of defeat when she lost her records, when she was kind of duped by a manager. People who told her she'd never amount to anything. But it doesn't matter if you like her music or not. I'm a fan of anyone. Doesn't matter whether they're an artist or an athlete or just a common Jane or Joe. If you've overcome something in your life, you're a winner. If you've made it through, that's what it's all about.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
It's 2024. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you live across the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Jane Matt Nair.
And I'm Greg Bach.
Join us Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to noon as we break down the news and share some laughs along the way.
We're talking to politicians, we're talking to community leaders, and we're talking to anyone who has a story.
And we occasionally get a visit from an umbrella cockatoo. Join us for Matt Nair on Air Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to noon.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Tune in Monday, special Devil's Advocates, live from Michigan before the primary. Dom's old stomping grounds. Listen, WMDX, 3 to 6 p.m. Central Time.
From Hillsboro to Highland, your choice for news, talk, and sports is News from the Center, WRCE, 1450 AM and 107.7 FM.
A bit more about this weather. You know, trying to keep track of weather events around Wisconsin is not just the responsibility of your local meteorologist, the guy you see on TV or hear on the radio. It's kind of your responsibility, too. But I'll tell you what, there's big span areas of Wisconsin where there's no weather data. And there are not really many people around to provide weather data. We're going to be talking more about that as we get toward the month of March, when the National Weather Service reaches out to public citizens to get involved in rainfall reporting specifically. The state is making an effort to try to get more technology out there to try to automatically report weather. Chris Vygotsky is in charge of WiscoNet. That is the statewide weather network that they're creating on a county-by-county basis to have technology in place that helps with weather.
You know, if you've ever seen at the airport when you're on a plane headed down the runway, a tall tower that's got a lot of instruments hanging off of it, that is a weather station. And we're putting out similar weather stations. Ours are a little bit smaller. They're on 10-foot tall tripods that we're setting out in remote places of the state that are away from obstructions and buildings and trees, so that we get the highest quality weather information. And on each of those tripods, we have a large solar panel that powers the station, anemometers, temperature sensors, solar radiation sensors, and a cellular modem that allows that data to come directly to us so that we can disseminate it to the people of Wisconsin.
Chris Vygotsky, again, he's in charge of WiscoNet. It is a, obviously, as the name implies, a network of what's happening in weather real time thanks to the satellites. But it can't replace the people. Like I said, coming up in the month of March, we are going to be asking you to become an official partner with the National Weather Service and their rainfall reporting network. You see what's happening out there right now. Who knows how much rainfall you're going to get to report. But I'll tell you what, no matter where you are, your contributions are valuable. You're going to hear a lot about that coming up in the month of March. Right now, let's talk about what's coming up today with the weather. Stu Muck, our ag meteorologist on the job this morning with our Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update. Have you seen any of those new satellite stations that they're popping up around the states too?
I've not seen one close, but I've seen all the specs and everything. I'm excited.
Yeah, I told them if they need a spot up in Oconee County, they're welcome to try one on the farm and, you know, do what we can. I said the biggest issue for some of those folks is the most remote areas where you want the data may not have cell service. And that's one of those little caveats that rascal needs. But we'll be touching base with Chris again and find out how things are going. Today, those weather stations, no matter where they are in Wisconsin, probably going to record abnormally warm weather, what, today and tomorrow, huh?
Today and tomorrow, for most of us, tomorrow could be the really hot day. I'd say the western edge of Wisconsin, eastern Minnesota, could have the warmest day today. We are going to see a system, a low-pressure center, drop into the plains, cross over Wisconsin late Tuesday into early Wednesday. There's already some snow on the radar. North, central, and northwest Minnesota, not very heavy, but there's a little snow out there. Maybe a bigger factor, Iowa and northern Illinois, under a red flag warning because it's so dry, the humidity is down, the winds are going to be strong. Don't burn. Today's not the day. Even in Wisconsin, we don't have the red flag warning, but it's the day not to burn because of winds and how dry things are. There will be some precipitation chance, and I expect it's tomorrow as we look toward midday in the west, afternoon further east, and that chance of rain and or snow sticks around overnight or into Wednesday. An inch or less of snow accumulates, we could get up to a quarter inch of rain. That helps with that fire possibility, but isn't going to make a big difference for how dry things are. Temperatures make a big swing too. Like I've said, today and tomorrow, very, very warm. That low pressure system slides through. Really cold on Wednesday. Highs back in the 20s below normal. I'll have forecast details right after this.
Rural Mutual Assurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
As a proud sponsor of the WIAA, Rural Mutual roots for all of Wisconsin student athletes. Whether they're a hometown hero or they dream of the national spotlight, sportsmanship keeps Wisconsin strong. Visit ruralmutual.com/WIAA to learn more about how they support high school athletics.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Innovation, that's BioVet. Livestock producers rely on BioVet for microbial and nutritional support. Keeping livestock eating and productive. Make BioVet your trusted partner for your livestock health since 1991. Learn more at biodesvet.com. Innovation.
All righty, Stu, let's have that Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update.
All right, it's going to be a roller coaster. Mostly sunny, a little more breezy today. A lot of low 60s, mid-60s in western Wisconsin. And east winds become south 5 to 15, even gusting around 30 in the afternoon. Partly cloudy overnight, low 40s. That's above a normal high, south winds 5 to 15. Partly sunny Tuesday, that shower possibility. Earlier in the day, midday in the west, and later afternoon further east. Still in the mid or upper 60s on Tuesday. South winds become northwest late, 5 to 10. More likely we see rain and snow showers Tuesday night, snow showers into Wednesday morning, becoming sunny at later in the day. Like I said, mid-20s, 27, Pam. Northwest winds Wednesday, gust to 30. Going to feel almost like winter on Wednesday.
So now, clear me up here on this snow business, because I heard some places we're talking up to 4 inches of snow. So that's kind of
north,
way up north, where they deserve it.
I would say it's going to be up north, probably north of 29, heaviest at Highway 8 and north. So it's up.
Okay. I mean, it's late for the party, but at least those folks will have something on the ground. And not the rest of us, just more slop, huh?
More slop. We have to worry about cleaning up, and yeah, it'll be slippery, and we have to be careful.
Okay. Well, in the meantime, let us enjoy what we've got coming up, eh?
Yeah, soak up some warmth today.
See you tomorrow. Thanks, Stu.
See ya.
Stu Mucker, Ag Meteorologist, with your Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update on a Monday. Compeer Financial is your financial partner committed to agriculture in rural America. Find out more and find resources you can use today. You'll get it all at Compeer.com. Heavens to Betsy, then. What's going on with our sugar bushes across the state of Wisconsin? Maple syrup production, an update with this weather on the way.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
You need skill and a little luck to play the game of pool. And you could say one cue-making company in Wisconsin has both. Schmelke Cues in Rice Lake is the oldest pool cue-maker in the U.S. and remains a family-owned, third-generation operated business. Schmelke started as a one-man shop in the 1940s. Now more than 20 employees work at the facility. So do you know which state has the most cue-making manufacturers? Is it Maryland, Minnesota, Wisconsin? The answer coming up. Pool is an old game, and the cues similar to the ones used to play today were created in the late 1600s in Northern Europe. Pool came to America in the 19th century. So did you guess which state currently has four of the top five cue manufacturers? It is Wisconsin. And Schmelke Cues in Rice Lake has also been inducted into the International Cue Makers Hall of Fame, making this a worldwide slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Connecting the dots between the left and the right. Rational Revolution with Chris Elfheim. Saturdays at 2 and Sundays at 1 on News from the Center, 107.7 FM and 1450 AM WRCE, and on the Civic Media app.
You know, I hope this is the best hour of your life. I'll tell you that. The Cripes Cast, folks.
Comedian Mary Mack.
He's noticed a very sizable increase on people off the lake coming onto our lake to fish it. You don't want everything to be popular and known about. That seems to be the way I also approach my comedy, Charlie. I think there's a theme.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
Earl Ingram.
My special guest is the curator and founder of Wisconsin's Black Historical Society, none other than Claiborne Vincent.
I want people to know that Wisconsin has a beautiful, rich African-American history. Many people think the King celebration and all of those other kinds of things are more important. They occurred in Wisconsin as well, and we've impacted the entire nation.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. With the world marking 2 years since Putin invaded Ukraine and a big aid package stuck in the House, President Zelensky for the first time disclosed casualty figures.
They claim 31,000 Ukrainian troops have been killed since the war began. That's far lower than recent U.S. estimates of around 70,000. I pressed Zelensky on whether that aid will arrive.
Mr. President, can I ask you about aid from the U.S. Congress? Are you worried about not getting it?
I think that the guys will make... good decision.
It comes as Russia makes some of its most significant battlefield gains in months.
ABC's James Longman. President Biden invited the big four congressional leaders to the White House tomorrow to discuss Ukraine aid and keeping the government running. Current funding runs out Friday night. Manhunt in Jefferson Parish, Louisiana, after an accused murderer pepper sprayed a deputy after a doctor's visit and drove off with the deputy's patrol car. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Two proposed amendments to the Wisconsin Constitution are moving forward. Both ideas came up during the COVID-19 pandemic. One would let churches and other houses of worship stay open during public health emergencies. It needs to be passed by lawmakers one more time. The other would give the legislature more say on how to spend federal money. That amendment now goes to a statewide referendum in November. Governor Evers says he'll veto a Republican bill to fight PFAS pollution in Wisconsin, but Representative Jeffrey Mersau says the bill has important legal protections for innocent landowners.
That's the whole crux of this whole bill is trying to get stuff cleaned up without taking and making somebody liable that had nothing to do with it.
Evers says the bill weakens the state's enforcement authority. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Brewers lose to the Rockies. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. After winning their opener, the Brewers lost 10-3 in Arizona to the Colorado Rockies. More games today and tomorrow, and then on Wednesday, the Brewers will face the Chicago Cubs and their new manager, Craig Counsell. NBA, the Bucks with a 119-98 win over the 76ers. Before the game, the fans in Philly booing Doc Rivers, where he last coached before taking on the job in Milwaukee. Marquette with a win at home, 88-64 against Xavier. Cam Jones led the Golden Eagles with 34 points, and talked about how loud their fans got during the game.
Basically, the crowd is a reflection of us at home and even on the road. So, you know, the crowd is going to follow our energy, and the coach does a great job of, like, you know, it's about us on the court and doing what we need to do, and then the crowd will follow, and we are the best crowd that I've ever heard.
Head coach Shaka Smart.
Really happy for Cam to get 34 points on his birthday. I thought overall, really good defensive effort by our guys.
That's Marquette's Shaka Smart. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Sunny, warm, and breezy today. We'll get to 65 this afternoon with wind out of the southeast at 15 to 25, gusting to 35. Tonight, partly cloudy, 44 tomorrow. Sun in the morning, showers in the afternoon, high of 66 by Wednesday. Partly cloudy, light snow, and a lot colder with a high of 27. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now it's 22.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matt and Air on Air with Jane Matt and Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on News from the Center. 107.7 FM and 1450 AM WRCE and on the Civic Media app. Matt and Air on Air.
Want to thank our previous guest, Bob Bonadour from the Milwaukee Planetarium. He's so knowledgeable and obviously loves what he does.
Yeah, because he gets to talk about space all the time. I'm not kidding you. I have watched videos about space and has started to cry. It's so flippin' beautiful to me.
Well, we found your birds.
Yes.
We have found your birds.
Space is my bird.
Matt and Air on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt and Air on Air.
Hovde, Eric Hovde now. He will be running against Tammy Baldwin.
He's not a Wisconsinite. He threw his hat in the ring from California. This is Tim Michaels all over again. Businessman who walks in, goes, well, I can take care of this. And Wisconsin says, no. Good to know you. Here's some Kringle. Go back home.
Is that how we politely blow people off now, is to take a Kringle and go away?
Matt and Air on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
After my wife died, I felt like I lost everything, including my love of fishing. But one day, my granddaughter called, and I realized I still had a lot to look forward to. I got referred to a psychiatrist who explained depression can happen to anyone. Getting help doesn't make me weak. It makes me stronger. I just wish it made me better at fishing.
Mental health care is working for Diego. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories.
Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. The Todd Alba Show.
I'm Trigvi Olsen. Steven from Green Bay. Go ahead.
The city of Green Bay is one of the best places in Wisconsin to live. Plenty of people that are Wisconsin nice.
Totally agree. Green Bay is kind of swing territory between the two parties, but people in Green Bay work together. I mean, people aren't asking themselves, am I wearing a red hat or a blue hat? They're wearing green and gold hats.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is News from the Center, WRCE, 1450 AM and 107.7 FM.
Back to the Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
On the job till the cows come home. This is the Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Well, I'll tell you what, talk about being on the job. Our Wisconsin farmers are on the job 24 hours, 7 days a week. That's especially true if you're a dairy producer. Yeah, you milk the cows and you can be done for a little while, but you still have to bed them, feed them, clean up after them. Oh, and then add in that you've got a family, that you're involved in the community. Still today, we're going to visit with a young dairy producer from Pittsville, Wisconsin. She is the mother of three, married to an active military man, but they keep on farming. And she also finds time to dedicate towards leadership roles within her dairy cooperative. Stephanie Hughes, a dairy woman from Pittsville, Wisconsin, is going to share why she dedicates that time to being a dairy leader on our Farm First Dairy Cooperative Update. On the way. I'm Pam Yonke, by the way. So glad you're along with us. Boy, oh boy, this weather kind of crazy, huh? Today, partly cloudy, 62. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 66. And then whammo, mostly sunny on Wednesday. No better than 29 degrees with a good possibility we're going to see some precipitation show up potentially around the state. So today is the 26th day of February, despite that forecast. What can I tell you? On this day back in 1917, the world's first jazz record was created. The original Dixie Jazz Band recorded a song called Livery Stable Blues for the Victor Talking Machine Company in New York City. The first jazz record created on this day in 1917. On this day in 1991, the world's first web browser presented to the public. At that time, they called it the World Wide Web. Later, they renamed it Nexus. The developer was a fellow named Tim Berners-Lee, a British computer scientist who is basically credited as the inventor of the Internet. Introduced to the public on this day back in 1991. Ooh, on this day back in 2009, Brazilian supermodel Gisele Bündchen weds the American poster boy for the New England Patriots, Tom Brady. They got married in Santa Monica, California on this day back in 2009, and of course divorced in 2002. And now you know. Well, you heard me mention this crazy weather. We're going to go from short-sleeved shirts and rolling down the windows to button it back up, baby. It's cold. Is that going to impact Wisconsin agriculture? Stephanie Hoff joins us this morning with one sliver of Wisconsin agriculture paying close attention to the weather. That's our Wisconsin maple syrup operations.
My landscaping plants are shooting out of the ground already, and it makes you wonder if maple trees start budding and end the maple syrup season. Jesse Wagner from In the Woods Sugarbush in Manitowoc says as long as these 60 degree temperatures are only here for a few days, it should be okay.
It's short-lived. It's only for 1 or 2 days. That we can handle. It's like towards the end of March when we get the 60 degrees for extended periods of time that is concerning and draws our season to an end. So for 1 or 2 days, I'm not really worried about it. A couple days ago we were like 55 degrees, almost 60 degrees, and that don't hurt us.
And Jesse, you had been cooking sap earlier than usual this year, but that wasn't necessarily a bad thing for you, right?
It was a good thing. We call it bonus sap. Generally, the season came early this year. We got ready, we scrambled and got everything ready, and we took advantage of some of the sap. I believe I tapped on the 7th and 8th, and then we were boiling, like on the 12th or 13th, we started boiling. If I would have been ready the SAP would have been running, you know, two weeks prior to that, we would have been tapped in January. We would have got SAP and maple syrup, and I would have had a good chunk of our crop would have been made by now already.
Has that been the case for most producers in your area, or even in different regions of Wisconsin?
Yeah, northern Wisconsin, believe it or not, there are some big producers. They have to start tapping early because they're very, very large operations, and it takes them a very long time to tap. They start tapping, or around Christmas, middle of December, in that range, and started getting SAP in January. And they were scrambling because everything that they had tapped already was running, and they took advantage of that. They made some syrup back in early February. You know, we only had that 1 week of really cold weather in January. It was just 1 week. The beginning of January was warm maple producing weather. Then it went cold, bitterly cold for a week, and then it warmed back up at the end of January.
Jesse Wagner along with us. He's a maple syrup producer out of Manitowoc. He owns In the Woods Sugar Bush, tapping about 1,000 trees. He says after these 60-degree temperatures over the next few days, the rest of the week looks good for sap collecting. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Well, we'll be thinking about those maple syrup producers over the course of the next 48 hours, that's for sure. Remember, you're always welcome to let us know how this erratic weather is impacting your farm, your garden, whatever you might be growing out there. Use our talk text line and let us know what's going on. That number, 877-301-FARM, 877-301-3276. You can also feel free to send us a message via the Midwest Farm Report Facebook page. We love to have little notes from you on what's happening in your world. Well, what's happening in the market world this morning in Chicago is generally stronger prices. Friday in Chicago, the barrel cheese was up a half a cent, 161.5. 40-pound block cheese gained a nickel to close the week at 155. Double A butter, that was 3¾ cents higher at 285. The Class 3 milk for March, which is the milk used for cheese, that's up 2 cents at 1733. Class 3 April milk, that's up 8, 1793 a hundredweight. Currently, December corn's unchanged at 450. November soybeans, actually, they're down a penny right now at 1129. July wheat, 2 cents stronger at 572 a bushel. Well, just like you and I, a lot of farms are coming together, visiting with their tax preparers, their accountants, their lenders, trying to get a game plan going for 2024, if they haven't already put one in place. Sometimes that game plan also includes talking about the farm structure. What's best? Should we be an LLC, an LLA? Should we be incorporated? Those are tough questions that a lot of farms are struggling with. Charity Seebecker joins us this morning to remind us why relationships when making those decisions are so key.
A lawyer and a farmer walk into a field. While this scenario may sound like the intro to a bad joke, in the agricultural sector, these kinds of relationships are key. Finding the right legal structure for your farm can be overwhelming, from liability and taxation to the overall sustainability. It is not a one-size-fits-all approach. So where do you begin? I'm Charity Seebecker with the Midwest Farm Report, and Rachel Armstrong, Executive Director of Farm Commons, tells us just that. She breaks down what steps to take and what really matters in order to be successful.
First off, there's not one legal structure that's really best for all farm businesses. A lot of folks choose to use the sole proprietorship or the partnership, which aren't exactly a legal structure. They're more like lack of a legal structure. And that comes with risks. Now, some people are tolerant of those risks. Personal assets are available to satisfy business liabilities. But then other people think that and think, oh my God, that's not an acceptable risk. I would like a corporation or an LLC. And honestly, between the corporation or the LLC, they are quite comparable. You can achieve similar objectives with both of them. People say the LLC is more flexible. Technically, that's true in some ways, but those points of flexibility aren't often very meaningful to farms. Like, for example, you can have more than 100 owners or members, as the law calls them. I don't know any farms with more than 100 owners, at least not the type that I work with. So I don't think those distinctions are too influential to farms. So corporations and LLCs, they're going to get you where you're trying to go when that is protection of your personal assets from business liabilities.
Are there any specific considerations when it comes to structuring ownership, especially when there are multiple stakeholders?
Yeah, no matter what business structure people choose, you know, whether it's a partnership, an LLC, or a corporation, one of the things that farmers often miss is writing the governance document that goes with it. So an LLC has an operating agreement, corporations have bylaws, and a partnership has a partnership agreement. Even if they are legally required, you're not legally required to put in good time and effort and write a good document. So a lot of folks skip that step. They're like, geez, we formed the corporation. Is that not good enough? Well, that's a missed opportunity. These governance documents answer extremely important questions like, what are we required to put into the farm business? Money? Labor? When? How? What do we get out of it? When do we get, you know, a return on our investment? Is it during the course of operations or only upon retirement or what? What about disputes? What about who's handling governmental obligations? These are really important questions, and they're actually the ones that tend to spell the success or the death of the farm business. So just because we don't legally have to draft a good document that really represents our goals, our ideals, and our actual plans, we benefit tremendously when we do that. So asking those questions, finding an answer to them, those to me are key considerations for really being successful over the long term with your farm business.
From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
Yeah, thanks, Charity. Good to hear from Rachel Armstrong. She is the executive director of Farm Commons, which is basically a legal advice source for production agriculture. She used to be headquartered in Madison. Now she's way up in Duluth, Minnesota, but easily found online, farmcommons.org. Farmcommons.org. Up next, she's got three young boys, a husband involved in the military. Oh, and by the way, she's milking cows, but she still finds opportunities and time to be involved in leadership. Stephanie Hughes, a dairy producer from Pittsville, Wisconsin, telling her story next.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Jahnke.
Ithaca's choice for news, talk, and sports. News from the Center, WRCE, 1450 AM and 107.7 FM.
You need skill and a little luck to play the game of pool, and you could say one cue-making company in Wisconsin has both. Schmelke Cues in Rice Lake is the oldest pool cue-maker in the U.S. and remains a family-owned, third-generation operated business. Schmelke started as a one-man shop in the 1940s. Now more than 20 employees work at the facility. So do you know which state has the most cue-making manufacturers? Is it Maryland, Minnesota, Wisconsin? The answer coming up. Pool is an old game, and the cues similar to the ones used to play today were created in the late 1600s in Northern Europe. Pool came to America in the 19th century. So did you guess which state currently has four of the top five cue manufacturers? It is Wisconsin. And Schmelke Cues in Rice Lake has also been inducted into the International Cue Makers Hall of Fame, making this a worldwide slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Civic Media's Rich LoCascio. Could you introduce me as a wrestler right now? You could call me like the Punching Bag or the Patsy or something.
From Green Bay, Wisconsin, the Punching Bag, Pete Schwabba.
Now I'd be looking across the ring at my opponent's eyes getting really wide as he got ready to wail on me.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
My name is Juanita Segura, and I was diagnosed in November of 2014 with non-small cell lung cancer. Biomarker testing was a turning point for me. By working with my oncologist, we were able to determine the most appropriate treatment plan. My fear was I wasn't going to be here to see my children grow up. That gave me hope, knowing that I have that chance, and I did. Visit noonemissed.org for more.
A public service message from Longevity Foundation.
Monday on Nightlight, I'm joined by Tim Sowers from the Overture Center in Madison and comedian actor Chip Chinnery. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
News from the Center, WRCE, 1450 AM and 107.7 FM.
Richland County's choice for news, talk, and sports.
organizations are always working to build the next group of leaders. One group like that, Farm First Dairy Cooperative. They had their recent annual meeting in Wisconsin Dells where they continued to look for new leaders that would step up. But think about it. You're so busy farming. Then you've got a family. You have other community activities you're involved in. How do you find time to be a board member for your dairy cooperative? Well, I'll tell you what. Stephanie Hughes, a dairy farmer from Pittsville, is doing just that, finding the time to take on leadership roles. I had a chance to sit down with this mother and dairy farmer and find out a little bit more about why she puts priority on getting involved with her dairy cooperative.
Sure. I live in Pittsville, Wisconsin with my husband and three sons, 13, 12, and 6. And they love to be out in the farm, be out in the barn with me and taking care of the cattle and being a part of the farming operation. My husband, he is actually in the military, so he has a lot of responsibilities with the military and is gone quite often, but we still keep the farm running and the operation running.
So tell me how many total head you and the boys and husband when he's around. Tell me about the size of the farm that you have to try to manage.
Sure. We try to manage on our operation. It's a 70-acre farm. We manage about 110 to 115 head on the farm. And we actually do dairy as well as feeder steer. Just a few years ago, we started a on-farm store.
So now, one of the reasons why we're talking with Stephanie Hughes from Pittsville is that she is a gal that sits on the board of directors with Farm First. We were talking before we began this conversation, Stephanie, about the challenge of trying to get the young voice in production agriculture heard, represented. Why did you decide, aside from everything else you got going on, that you wanted some activity on the board with Farm First?
It's a passion for agriculture. I do believe that people need to have a voice. I believe that I need to speak on behalf of other producers. I feel that my voice needs to be heard. I've traveled to Washington, D.C. I've spoken to representatives. They need to know where we stand and what we do and how we do it in this industry to make a living and to produce food for the consumer.
How do you work through that when you're in front of a person in Washington, D.C. that has little to no experience with your passion, your area of expertise?
We just tell our story. We tell our story every day. We tell what we do every day. We tell them the good, the bad, the ugly of everyday living.
Farm First Dairy Cooperative is always looking for young leaders, people that are willing to step up and dedicate some time. Have you noticed the difference being a part of Farm First board versus just being a patron?
Just being involved in the Young Cooperators program that Farm First offers has groomed me to be a better leader. I had the opportunity to travel to Washington, D.C. to speak to representatives and speak to people about what I do every day and how I do it and why I do it. So it's very humbling to teach those people about agriculture and how we do it and why we do it. And then just being a representative of Farm First is very humbling.
So what's your message to other young dairy producers, young producers really of any type? How do you help them find that confidence, the courage to do what you did, and that is step up and volunteer?
Yeah, just keep on keeping on. We are doing our best. I come from a farm that is the first generation. My kids are the next generation. And we just want them to succeed. We want them to believe in the industry. We want them to have the passion that we have to keep going each day, to fight for what they believe in, and to just be confident in what they do every day. The prices are tough. Prices are challenging. But each day we strive to be successful.
Does it make you feel good when you see how hard Farm First works to incorporate, to welcome, to elevate young producers, regardless of size, regardless of any of that stuff, just trying to elevate that demographic?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I believe that Farm First, you know, as a young cooperator, they assisted me financially to get to Washington, D.C. to tell my story. And that's what we want other people to believe in, that we believe in your future. We believe in what you believe in and want you to succeed in.
That is one dedicated dairy gal. Her name's Stephanie Hughes. She's farming in Pittsville along with her military serving husband and their three energetic young boys, committed to being a part of the leadership roles offered through Farm First Dairy Cooperative. If you're intrigued and want to find out more about opportunities with Farm First, best thing to do, talk to your field representative or go to farmfirstdairycooperative.com.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
From Hillsboro to Highland, your choice for news, talk, and sports is News from the Center, WRCE, 1450 AM and 107.7 FM.
An obstacle to keeping kids safe and healthy on the farm. That's next on Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops, and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for Rizol from ProGrow Bio.
Spring is just around the corner, and there's still time to upgrade to the latest technology from Ag Leader. From SureForce Downforce Control and SureSpeed High Accuracy Planting Systems to RightSpot Individual Nozzle Control for your sprayer, Ag Leader has you covered. Upgrade now and reap the benefits this season. Contact your local Ag Leader dealer or visit agleader.com.
Since the early 2000s, the number of children who are injured or killed in farm-related incidents has been decreasing steadily. But another trend underway could change that. Barbara Lee is director of the National Children's Center for Rural and Agricultural Health and Safety in Marshfield, Wisconsin.
As of this month, there are 28 states that have introduced some type of legislation to weaken the child labor laws. And there are 10 states that have actually enacted certain laws that allow children to work longer hours, work weekends, maybe work alone, maybe work with some hazardous equipment.
However, adds Lee,
at the same time, we're starting to see a few other states that are taking the reverse strategy and trying to strengthen their child labor laws. We hear that industry is driving to allow kids to work longer hours and have more exposures, I would say. A lot of this is tied into, you know, the declining labor force, the importance of earning money for some children, especially for immigrant families. And it's a really interesting topic to watch.
There's a link to a webinar recording featuring Lee's presentation on the show info page at NorthShoreProductions.com. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Hey everybody, it's Todd Albolt. Noon to 3 on Monday, we'll review the week's news and bring you a little entertainment as well, right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Now. We tend not to think about now. We dream about tomorrow, relive yesterday. But right now in front of us is victory over cancer. Right now, cancer research funded by the V Foundation is leading to better treatments and saving lives. Victory over cancer is there for the taking by you, because today's cancer research is tomorrow's victory. Learn more at v.org.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
The Todd Allbutt Show.
Green Bay's a fine town, but I'm just telling you, you're better off to take a horse. Don't drive in Green Bay, and for God's sake, don't get a parking ticket. So how about this? We find out how much revenue does Green Bay get from parking tickets, and we say that the Packers are going to donate that, and we're going to have free parking in Green Bay. How about that? Todd for mayor of Green Bay.
The Todd Allbutt Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
It's 2024. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you live across the Civic Media radio network. I'm Jane Matt Nair.
And I'm Greg Bach.
Join us Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to noon as we break down the news and share some laughs along the way.
We're talking to politicians, we're talking to community leaders, and we're talking to anyone who has a story.
And we occasionally get a visit from an umbrella cockatoo. Join us for Matt Nair on Air Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to noon.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
You are listening to WRCE 1450 AM, W299 CD, Richland Center.